Hello and welcome to Charity Chat, the ACNC's podcast. My name is Matt Crichton and I'm from the ACNC's education team. And in this episode, I spoke with ACNC Commissioner Dr. Gary Johns about the latest charities report. We spoke about some of the interesting findings of the report, what it says about charities in Australia, and we touched on the future direction of this sector-wide analysis. And just before we do get into the conversation, a quick reminder that you can explore all the data we used for the charities report in the interactive data set available on the ACNC website at acnc.gov.au/charity data. Now we hope you enjoy the chat. Dr. Gary Johns, good morning. Thanks for another appearance here on Charity Chat, the ACNC's podcast.
Thank you, Matt.
Now, we've just published the most recent charities report. Before we get into some of the details of the report itself, could you just give the listeners a bit of an overview of what it is? Because there may be some people that, this is the first time they've come across this report.
Yes, this is our census, really. The ACNC is really the premier organisation to collect information about charities, and we do this annually. So let's call this our annual census. The charities submit information to us, an annual information statement, and then we have to wait a full 12 months or so before we can collect that information in one place and analyse it. And really, it's the only comprehensive view of Australia's charities. It provides us some insight into its size and financial standing, purposes, activities, locations, and a fair bit more.
Yeah, right. Okay. That does bring me to one other point before we get into some of the details, I suppose. I note that this one is called the Australian Charities Report 2018, which initially sounds a couple of years old, but it is actually the most recent analysis of charities, right?
Yes, we're always behind in publication because, of course, when charities submit their 2018 annual information statement, we have to wait until they're all in. That goes across a year, if you like, plus many months of grace period at the end after it. And we can't analyse the data until we get almost all of it in, otherwise it would be inaccurate. So that's why here we are, 2020, publishing the latest publicly available information, which is 2018. It's the sixth edition of the report. I think the main thing is that we're consistent. We are publishing each year. The fact that it's lagged is simply a consequence of the nature of the census.
Taking a look at some of the findings from this most recent report, it does give us a view of the size of the charity sector again. And first, we'll take a look at the economic size of the charity sector. I think it may surprise many people.
Yes, it is a big as well as varied sector, and it employs 1.3 million people. Charities have assets of $323 billion. Wow. And the revenue in that year, 2018, was $155 billion. So it's a big part of the Australian economy.
And interestingly, the rise in those numbers on previous reports suggests that the charity sector collectively has grown faster than the Australian economy in the same period.
Yes. Well, according to our data, in that 2018 reporting year, charity revenue grew by over 6%, whereas the Australian economy grew by just under 2%. So something's going on in the sector. It seems to be quite healthy from that point of view. For instance, donations were up by $600 million, up to $10 billion in total. And of course, there are the volunteers.
Yep.
Half of all charities in our sector operate solely with volunteers. That is, they employ no one. And we've measured that volunteers contributed the equivalent work of 3.7 million people. So that's quite amazing.
Yeah, it is. It's huge, really big numbers there. And the funding sources that the report touches on also provide some interesting insight into the sector more broadly.
I think a lot of people may associate charity funding with your typical street collections and donations for campaigns, maybe door-to-door fundraising, that sort of thing. But the report shows that charities rely on quite a few different sources of income.
Yes. It will be a surprise to many people that, for instance, almost half of charity revenue comes from government.
Yeah, right.
2018, 47% of charity revenue came from government. But over a third, 34%, was generated by charities in providing goods and services. And some of these, of course, are subsidised by government. But it differs enormously according to the type of charity. We might get onto that in a moment, because some are more reliant on grants and contracts from government than others. And others subsist almost entirely on donations.
That does raise a good point, because we often talk about the sector as a collective, almost as like as a single entity. But when you delve into some of these details, it makes it clear that it is more a collection of many, many different entities doing many different things. And the funding gives a good insight into that. Just one other thing we wanted to touch on. You did mention it briefly with the growth in the sector's revenue. The report does overall point to a sector that is managed well financially. The figures state that it's operating at a surplus.
Yes, that's so, and it's encouraging. It seems to indicate that the sector's doing well, but you know, there's only so much we can glean from these aggregate figures, because some, of course, won't be doing so well. And we should, of course, note that during the COVID-19 period, things will not be as good. But listen, we're reporting on the 2018 year, reflecting on 2018, the overall picture is one of health of the sector. It is buoyant. Its assets are growing. Its income is growing as well.
Yeah, that's a good point about COVID-19. Of course, we are talking about the sector as it stood a couple of years ago. So whilst this is the most recent report we can provide to the public, this pandemic crisis will have had a significant effect on the charity sector, which we will probably see in the next couple of years' reports.
I'd imagine so. I think COVID-19 will hit donations. Charities are reporting this right now, and that may remain for some years. But that's the subject of a future charities report.
When you do get into some of the details of this report, you can see the diverse purposes and activities in the charity sector. It makes it clear that it is really not a single sector. It is made up of thousands of different parts.
Yes. I'd imagine if we took a poll among the public as to what is a charity, many would have in mind typically human services type charities, dealing with people in ill health or in poor circumstances. And of course, those charities are present. But, you know, there are things like research laboratories and aged care facilities, temporary accommodation, environmental organisations. Religious activities constitute a very solid base of the entire charitable sector. But there's also primary and secondary education. There are charities that solely make grants to other charities, and they our register. And then, there are the more typical, I guess, in the public mind, the social services type charities.
And size is an interesting angle too when looking at the charity sector. So in Australia, the report says that most charities are small, and in fact, a significant proportion of those are what we've deemed to be extra small. That is, they operate at a scale of less than $50,000 a year. I think maybe members of the public may think of some of the bigger name charities when they think of the charity sector, but small charities make up the majority.
They do. So it's a tale of many tales, in a sense, because we have a substantial number of charities in Australia are very small, and they're local. They're local groups doing things for local communities. And you have in that part of our sector that whole notion of private association, people getting together for other purposes, that is charitable purposes, usually on a local basis. And that's in stark contrast to the very large, usually long established charities with the income streams and the hundreds of millions of dollars. So, we have to be wary, I suppose, when we talk about charities, that we're really talking about an enormous variety of organisations of different size, purpose, age, level of, if you like, professional association. Yep. It's tremendously varied.
Yeah, and of course, the bigger ones may be the more visible. You might see their advertising banner somewhere or even hear an advertisement on the radio or see it on the TV. But of course, the majority of charities on the register are the ones that you find in every town or suburb's local street and the ones that you don't necessarily think of as charities.
Yes. Look, one of the things we'll concentrate in the next charity report and ongoing is to see if we can't understand the parts of the sector. So, for instance, we will measure in future not only how many charities come onto the register and how many charities go off the register, but the age, say the average age of those charities.
Right.
But I want to get a sense in which is the turnover of charities occurring among the small ones who have only been established a couple of years and then that fail, or is it occurring elsewhere?
Right.
Are we getting a lot of churn within the sector? Now, these are more what I call economic insights rather than just the, you know, the geographic ones, the size and location distribution of charities. And we're going to move more and more towards that within the limits of the information that we're allowed to gather from charities. But it is interesting. I think we'll be able to garner quite a lot of insight, which, of course, we'll share with the public because it's all about them and their needs. Information. And we may well see some trends in the sector that, well, it might spark some important debate.
And having read through this report thoroughly, what have you taken out of it? What's shown you about the current state of the charity sector, something that people can look into when they look at the report?
Well, they should be reassured that it's a large, varied sector and that probably reflects a country as diverse and geographically large as Australia. So there's a lot of small organisations concentrating on their communities, organising at a local level. One of our jobs really is to try to make what charities do more visible. I think you mentioned before that, you know, the very large names are known and you could Google them. You could look them up and see that particular charity is there and doing its good works. But you can't find probably half of the charities on our register very easily by Googling. In fact, I'd say even less than that because they exist for different purposes and they don't necessarily use the internet. But I might say we're all very interested in how much innovation is taking place in the sector. And just a really tiny little measure of that, which we published this year, is the number of charities that have an online presence. You know, it might be even a Facebook site. And there are 34% of our charities that have an online presence. Now, previously, we haven't asked that question. We didn't sort of think about that. But we'll start that as a baseline, and every year we'll measure that online presence. Now, not every charity needs one, and it's not a marker of you know, a good charity versus a bad. Let me caution there. But nevertheless, I think we'll see that figure rise over the years as charities do in this online world find that they're fighting for space and electronic presence. And that might be a little marker of innovation to see what the proportion is and how it rises over time. That's something we'll publish. There's a very interesting aspect of our sector that the Charities Commission is often not the key regulator of the charity. So, for instance, many associations have a state regulator. There are schools that have Department of Education, for instance, that's the real regulator, or Department of Health or Department of Age Services or whatever. So we're starting to gather that information. So we're finding that 28% of charities have an obligation to another regulator. Now, that's important to know because the sector, of course, is sensitive to the amount of regulation that it undertakes or is subject to, sorry. So we should measure that. We should say, well, which sectors, how many? We leave it to others to debate the wherefores and wherefores, but we will gather that information. What charities have an obligation to another regulator? And that takes a little bit of building up, getting it accurate. We're always very, very keen to have accurate information. So we'll begin to publish that. Another one, for instance, is the definition of a charity in charity law, mm-hmm. as opposed to the definition of a charity for taxation purposes.
Right.
And the two diverged a long time ago. So, for instance, not every charity allows for the donor to get a tax deduction. We call these charities deductible gift recipient charities. Now, nearly all public benevolent institutions and health promotion charities have DGR status. So clearly, if you like, from a government policy's point of view, there's a real alignment there between charity of that form and its taxation status.
Yeah.
If you like, they get the bigger prize. But there are a large number of charities that don't get DGR status. I'm not making comment. I just think we need to distinguish here the differences. Now, the other big innovation in this 2018 report is that we're breaking down most of our data now into the subsets of charities. There are 13 of 14 subsets. So, for instance, you have a group of charities that are just for religious purposes or for public policy discussion. Now, you'll find that there are very few of those charities that have deductible gift recipient status.
Mm-hmm.
Right through, as I say, up to the 93% for PPIs and HBCs. And in fact, we think, investigating our data, that that is more or less 100%. There are some that just haven't gone through all the applications yet. So that's interesting. You know, there are at least two, probably more classes of charity there that need to be appreciated. Because they're on our register doesn't mean to say they have all of the same taxation benefits. So there are different classes of charity in terms of taxation benefit. And we'll make that clearer over the years. We'll publish it distinguished by each charity's purpose. And I think that'll, again, show some insights into the sector, but also into, if you like, government responses to the sector. And one other point I'd like to make, I mentioned earlier on the proportion of government income flowing through to charities. We found, I had a look back to 2015, so this is going through 2015, 16, 17, 18, 4 years now, that donations and bequests, which again I think in the public mind are seen as being quintessentially charitable, they've been growing, but as a proportion of total income, they're actually slipping. So in 2015, donations and bequests as a proportion of total income was 8.4%, and in 2018, it was 6.6%. And it was didn't jump around, it was just a steady drop. Now, almost the reverse of that is government income as a proportion of total income of charities has risen from 41.8%. 2015 through to 46.8% in 2018. So there's something going on there. Probably means that charities are a valued partner of government. Charities deliver a lot of government services. But this seems to be increasing.
Yeah.
And whilst donations and bequests have risen, they're sliding as a proportion. Now, you know, that may mean that the way charities operate and, of course, their reporting obligations will change with this change to the source of income.
Just to finish up, I suppose it's worth pointing out to listeners that the report itself isn't the end of this project. There's an interactive data set with which people can play around and find different insights themselves, I suppose, by, you know, filtering certain categories and data that's freely available on our website.
Yes. The bigger picture here is really that the public can come to the website and researchers can come to the website and find our various data there. And they can adjust their filters and parameters and find out facts about Australian charities, whether it's by locality or size or subsector and a range of various characters and things. So I'd actually encourage anyone who's interested to say, well, here it is. The census has been published. Over to you now to see what's of interest to you. And I might say, if people have feedback, if they'd like perhaps not so much more questions to be asked, because we're very limited by law as to what we can ask, but they may have some insights there as to how they see the sector, how its future is going to work out, how it's coping in its environment, you know, how robust it is and how innovative and so on. We're always interested in that sort of feedback. So if people using our data want to make comment, then I encourage them to get in touch with us.
Yep, please do so. And the data set that we use to produce the charities report is fully interactive and fully available on the ACNC website. And anyone can just go to that page, have a look at the data and play around with the parameters there as they see fit. Once again, thanks for your time, Dr. Gary Johns. Really appreciate your insights into this report and what it means for the public more broadly.
Thank you, Matt.
You can find more episodes of Charity Chat, as well as other great resources, on our website at acnc.gov.au. And if you want to hear more of Charity Chat, make sure you subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Until next time, bye.